I have been looking at Isaiah 40 and have been stirred by it again. And I was thinking of saying something about a part of it again this evening, a different part of it or a different verse from it. And yet, somehow, the way things have gone, I think maybe tomorrow we'll do that. Because I want to just take a few minutes to maybe the Lord will help me to drive something home, and I will ask Him right now that He will work in all of us to teach us how better to give Him the glory, how to praise Him, and maybe to sound His call in our hearts tonight, that He wants us all to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So I pray, O Holy Spirit, that You will help me tonight and help us all as we look at a few passages of Scripture. Help us to understand that they apply to us personally. O Lord, teach me how better to give You the glory with my life and with my lips, Lord, with my voice and with everything that I am, all that I am and have. O Lord, teach me better. Tonight, I just want You to help me to bring this across, and let there be this conviction here that we will all understand that we are called to give God the glory in our lives and praise Him more, yet more and more. So help us, Lord, tonight as we look at these passages of Scripture together. Amen. We referred to Psalm 40. Please take your Bibles and follow along with me. Would you do that? We'll look up a few passages of Scripture. Now, when we look into our Bibles, we understand that we're not just picking up another book, like a textbook, even an authoritative textbook, but a textbook and a book and an authoritative book that is the Word of the Living God. And we put ourselves under its authority. And we say, yes, Lord, when we read His Word. This is His Word. This is God's Word. So here it was. We read it this morning, or mentioned it this morning at the end of Psalm 40, verse 16. All right. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Now there's a difference, I think you know, between continually and continuously, right? Continuously means without a break. All right, so in other words, if you were going to obey this word, if it said continuously, you would not ever say anything else but the Lord be magnified, the Lord be magnified, the Lord be magnified from now until you went to be with Him, and then you would do it throughout eternity. But your life is supposed to be doing that continuously. But when it says continually, it means again and again and again and again and again, like points on a line rather than drawing the line straight through. Again and again and again. Obviously, it doesn't mean a long, long time in between, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be here and wouldn't be saying this like this. It means that you and I should be praising the Lord again and again. Often, we ought to say, God be praised, the Lord be magnified. Those words should be on your lips and mine. Let's turn to the last psalm, Psalm 140. By the way, the same verses in other places in the Psalms, to say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 150, we mentioned already, and the very last verse of the Psalm book, Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Would that leave out anyone in this room? No, obviously not. You've taken a breath since you've walked in the door, haven't you? I believe you have. Everyone and everything that has breath, praise the Lord, is the command in this word. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 5. Come back with me to Psalm 5. Come on now. Let your fingers move. Find Psalm 5. What does it say in the 11th verse? Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That's all those that put their trust in thee. Let them rejoice, and let them ever, that means always, shout for joy. So again, when was the last time that you shouted for joy because you're in a covenant, would you call that, relationship with the Lord? We sang it. Okay, you did it tonight. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. But let them ever shout for joy. They love your name. Lord, they trust you. You defend them. Let them be joyful. Let them be joyful and ever rejoice. And that means it's not just in your heart. It's not just in your eye. I sing in my heart. I praise the Lord in my heart. Good. That's where it has to start. But it's going to overflow if you're really glad. Somehow it shows. Did you ever notice that when you're really happy about something? It comes out. There's an expression of joy. And so it is. If we come to know the Lord, if we have seen, as we've been saying in these days, the face of Jesus, if we've known something about how great and glorious and holy our God is, and how sinful we are, and how yet He has stooped to us to lift us up out of the miry clay, out of our sin, and to Himself. And apart from that, we were without hope. If we knew that, if we really believed it, how could we help but rejoice? How could we help but rejoice in a way that would show on our faces and actually be audible? Audible, right? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Psalm 9. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Again, go through the Psalms. You'll see this again and again and again and again and again. And it must mean that we ought to be praising the Lord and giving Him the glory that is His due. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise the Lord. Why do we praise Him? For He is good, and His mercy endures forever. You have that in a number of the Psalms. And in other places, we see that God's people sang that. They sang that in Ezra. You find them singing. These are the people that came back from the exile in Babylon, and they're singing that song. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107. Let's look at that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who has that in a different translation? I'm reading from the King James Version. Rebecca Corwin, would you read 1 and 2, please? This is the New International Version.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Who has a different translation? What is it?
Amplified.
Amplified. Oh, so we're going to hear a lot of synonyms. Good. Go.
All give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has delivered from the hands of the adversary.
Oh, that's how the Amplified Bible goes. The one I used to have would say, like, oh, give thanks, gratitude, praise, you know, and like give all these synonyms, like preachers sometimes do. thank you, that's good. Another one, just a different translation. You'll see why I'm asking for this. Yes.
The New Living.
Good.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies.
See that? That's a little different. That's very nice too. The point is that we are to say, if the Lord has been merciful to us, and the Lord is good, and we know it, his mercy endures forever, we're to say it, we're to speak it out. I believe that these verses mean, I'm not trying to contradict any one of these versions, but I think that the NIV has it close. Of course, this is right, but I'm going to tell you how this "let the redeemed of the Lord say so" can be misused. It's not wrong. It's good either way, but I grew up thinking that this means "let the redeemed of the Lord say that they are redeemed." We even had a column. Remember in that Pilgrim Camp Echoes or something thing they used to send out every couple months during the off season? I remember that they had a column for testimonies, and they called it "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So," say that they're redeemed. I believe that it means "let the redeemed of the Lord say so, speak thus, say so." So could also mean in this manner. And I think that's what it means. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak in this manner. Let them speak thus or say this. And they're supposed to be saying the first verse. They're supposed to be singing this song that was so common among the people of God in the Old Testament. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of course, that could include, as the NLT says, that we've been redeemed, right? But let us speak in this manner. Let us speak words of praise, words that exalt the goodness of the Lord, and say that his mercy endures forever. Let us offer our verbal thanksgiving to him. Make his praise glorious. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So let the redeemed of the Lord speak in this manner. Say this. Speak thusly. He is good, his mercy endures forever. This morning I said that it says that those who love his salvation should say continually, "The Lord be magnified." And I said, have you said that yet today? Let's say it. But how about this one? God's people are supposed to be saying that he is good and that his mercy endures forever. What does it mean to us when it says that God is good? God is good. There's a word that we use, and it is not a superlative. Somebody had a shirt on about superlatives the other day, but we go better than good when we talk about something, right? Good is just kind of common word for not bad, right? So it's good. In the Bible, when you read good, it is the ultimate good when it speaks about God. It is the best word possible. It speaks about all the goodness that God holds in his perfections. He is absolute goodness. He is good. I often think of, and I may have said it here, those columns we used to have in public school, elementary school. They probably don't do this anymore, so maybe I have to describe them very briefly. There were maybe four columns to the left in every little area, like social studies, English, math, reading, social skills, meaning, you know, how you get along with others and how you do your push-ups in gym and stuff like that. So you had all these different categories, and then the teacher would write, this is what your parents would see, right, that you were either excellent or good or fair or not good at all. I can't remember. I think it was unsatisfactory or something like that. So it was, in ours, it was excellent and good and fair and, did you say it was poor? Oh, you had that one too? Well, okay. For my mother, good woman needs improvement. Anyway. that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about excellent and then some. To infinity, God is good, okay? We're talking about the best. Those were the ones my sister got. We were in the same class, my twin sister. She got all those excellence down the row. Maybe one good, you know? And and then you go home and your parents say, you did okay, you know, you did fine. It's all right, you know, you don't have to compete with your sister. No, they didn't say that. they didn't make me feel like I was inferior. In fact, my father came home once from 10th grade and he thought that my social studies teacher, we don't have a lot of time for this, I'll make it fast. My social studies teacher was very wise because, you know, we were still in the same class as many of them. 10th grade, Grace and I doing world history, and Matthew Troy was his name. No, Mr. Troy, I can't remember his first name. Matthew Troy was one of our politicians, I think. Mr. Troy said to my father, you know, you have twins, a boy and a girl, and this is the age when the boys really come into their own. You know, the girls are better earlier on, but at this point, the boys really pass them up, and they stay ahead, you know. Wow, my father thought this guy was great, and I don't know what my mother thought, and I was very happy with that, but I don't think I got as good a grade as my sister, so I guess that proved them wrong. She was just so smart, so good. And, excuse me, she was so excellent. I was so good. No, I was fairest of them all, no. You know, these words can mean different things, right? But when you say God is good, it is ultimately good. It is the best and way beyond what you can imagine. It is absolute perfection, and he surely is worthy the praise of those whom he has made and those whom he has redeemed and those especially with whom he has entered into a covenant relationship. He loved them with an everlasting love and drew them with loving kindness unto himself. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, or his, I believe you read, his steadfast love never ends. One of those choruses, maybe you sing it in your church, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Certainly, every morning, every child of God should lift their hearts and voices in praise to him. Don't you think so? Not just Sunday, every day, rejoicing in this great salvation, singing his praises, coming to him with joy, for he has put gladness in our hearts. Now, very quickly, this Psalm 107 speaks of various needs that people find themselves in. And I know that we can place ourselves in a number of these, and I believe we can just look at them in a few minutes. But this psalm is certainly worthy of further study for anyone who's interested to read it over. It says, "The Lord gathered his redeemed out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They were wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them." Isn't that true of all of us? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and we would not have found our way had not the Lord sought us. Sometimes we think that we found him. I like that hymn that says, "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved me to seek him," or "he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of thee." And isn't this so true? They were brought low as we were brought low. They cried unto the Lord, and we cried unto the Lord, and he brought us to himself. He delivered them out of their distresses and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, the city of God. He took them out of that city of destruction, out of the city of this world, the city of man, and he brought them to his city. And here we are. Isn't this wonderful? He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Brother Gus, can you find yourself in that first category? Yes. Deborah, what about you? Think so? Yes. Okay, good. And every one of us who knows that the Lord has sought us and found us and brought us. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, next, I believe we're all in this place too. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." These are people that got themselves in trouble, didn't they? In bad trouble. And they got themselves all bound up and they needed to be delivered. Can you think of yourself in that predicament also? "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." I can think of a story in Pilgrim's Progress that you just referred to the other day. Remember when they got themselves all bound up in the castle of giant despair? So, sister, you said you've told the story many times. How was it that they got out?
It was the key of promise.
The key of promise. Where was that key? Yeah, it was right there. It was right there. Oh, praise the Lord. He found his way out and he was rejoicing. Amen. Oh, right there all the time. And we can call on the Lord. And he brought them out of darkness. And he broke the bands in sunder. He sets the captive free. And you can't break those gates of brass or bars of iron yourself. Here's another one. Please listen carefully. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So here you have those who become sick. Doesn't necessarily only mean physical sickness, but physically and spiritually they draw near unto the gates of death. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. We can think of some sicknesses that come because of foolish actions and disobedient actions, and surely they could be included here. Other sicknesses, Jesus taught us not to look at someone who's sick and think, oh, what did he ever do to make that happen to him? What did she do? But I'm sure the Lord wants us to check inside when we come into any kind of difficulty and ask him, is there something you're trying to teach me? Is there something that I have done that I can straighten out, Lord? We ought not to look with a condemning, knowing it all, judgmental attitude on anyone else. But it's right to turn inward and ask God, as it says, why is it that you contend with me, Lord? And God will come and help us. And it says, he sent his word. In my margin, it says, it makes it present. All these words are present tense in the margin. He sends his word and heals them and delivers them from their destructions. Actually, it's a very up-to-date verse when you use the margin of the King James Version. It says, he sends his word. Oh, I mean, it was up-to-date about 20 years ago when I was younger. He sends his word and heals them and delivers them from the pits. Remember when the pits was an expression? That kind of dates me too, doesn't it? But at that time, it's very up to date. He delivers them from their destructions. And that's something to praise the Lord for. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare thy works or his works with rejoicing. Then they have those who go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Maybe we don't know too much about going on ships, except on Brant Lake. I haven't been on a lot of boats, seafaring vessels. And I haven't seen even what the disciples saw on the Sea of Galilee, but it depicts it here as the waves appearing to go up to heaven, you know, and like, wow. And imagine how that must feel. You want it to stop as soon as possible. And in the disciples' case, the boat was taking on water, and it was a fearful thing. And yet, in one of the instances, Jesus was sleeping. And when they woke him up, he said, you guys have very little faith. And the song says, the song says, how could it be? How can the waves swallow the ship where the master of the world and the universe is sleeping? I can't remember right now the way that is. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. He's Lord of all. Sovereign God, we worship you, we adore you, we praise you. At your command, we sing your praise, and you come and sing praise in the midst of the congregation. Come to your people and quicken praise and song in our hearts that will do us good and will bring you glory. Someone said something to me about the 30th verse just the other day. Then are they glad because they be quiet. God makes the storm a calm, and he stills the waves and brings them to their desired haven. What was it that you said to me, Brother Dale? Remind me, please.
It's that in that situation, they be content with any haven.
Okay.
He brings them to their desired.
Well, that's great. See what you get when you take a little extra time, read slow, and think about words? They would be happy with any harbor, but instead he brings them to the very one that's best for them, the one that's all their hearts desire. Wow, praise the Lord, right? They should praise the Lord for that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. We'll stop there. Do you get the point? The Lord wants us to be praisers. He is worthy all praise. Oh, that men and women would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to all of us. To all of us. But especially to his redeemed. You know, Jesus said, the Father in heaven makes his sun to shine and his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. But especially to his redeemed. He shows himself merciful and gracious and loving and kind to all who call upon him. Hallelujah. And when we think of such things, our hearts should respond in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. You know, no matter what you're going through, he is worthy to be praised. We can thank him for everything. Thank him in everything. Just praise his name and worship the Lord and sing his praise. And he will bless you as you obey him. And you'll never stop singing once you start. And once you realize the blessedness of really rejoicing in the Lord always, you'll always want to do it. You will. Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. Sing when the day is bright. Sing in the darkest night. Every day, all the way, I will sing, sing, sing. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking, why didn't he say that verse or that verse? I know there are many, many more. Okay? One reason that I didn't was these were the ones that came to me in what I thought was my allotted time. So those were the ones that I used. But even while I just sang that chorus, I thought of 10 more right there. Yeah. You want to stay and hear them? Look them up. Practice them. Do it. God will meet you. He will bless you. And you'll know that you're giving him the praise that is his due. And maybe someday, soon, you'll be able to testify, praise in my soul is like a big bell, and I am so yielded to the Lord and so rejoicing in him that the Holy Spirit can ring it whenever he wants to. Ring those bells. Ring those bells. Let the whole world know. Jesus is wonderful. God is good. He is great over all, and he deserves all praise. Hallelujah.